The first reading is Psalm 118, and if you want to follow it, it's on page 616 in your Bibles. I'll read verses 1 and 2, and then I'll jump to verse 19. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading can be found on page 1079 of the Bible. It's taken from John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19, as Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him up from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you for those two readings today. Wonderful readings for Palm Sunday. Psalm 118 that Yvonne read to us. It's not officially one of the Psalms of Ascent, but it's clearly about going up to the temple in Jerusalem to worship the Lord. It's a call to praise God. So verses 1 to 2 are calling the people to come and praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. And then also to open the gates of righteousness so that I can enter and give thanks to the Lord. And it talks about the cornerstone, the verse 22, for example, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this and it is marvelous in our eyes. Seems at first sight to be about the cold, hard physical stones of the temple. But Jesus quotes that verse on Palm Sunday as he teaches the people in the temple. And it's also quoted by Peter in Acts and in his letters as well. So Peter obviously thought that Jesus, in a sense, is the capstone that glorifies and adorns the temple. In all these quotes, the stones represent the people of God in the house of God. And the capstone is prophetic about Jesus himself, the way he's the stone rejected by the builders, the Jewish leader, and yet given central chosen messianic status by the Lord himself. So what I want to leave with you today is this question: who is this? It's a good question as we go through Holy Week, the Last Supper, the cross, and Easter. Who is this who is walking into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? Verse 24 in the psalm actually is familiar as the opening greeting in the Church of England service. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And that's from Psalm 118 that Yvonne read to us. It's actually a wonderful way of starting the day, of opening the curtains, if you like, and claiming the day for the Lord. The Lord, the Creator, made the sunrise. He blessed the hours that were given today. So let's rejoice and be glad in God and praise God in it and through it. And then verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we praise you. That's quoted by the crowds as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a young donkey. Who is this? They all knew their psalms, their scriptures, and they used the psalms as a blessing of the coming Messiah, recognizing him for who he is at last. And actually Jesus quotes the same verse in judgment as he leaves the temple at the end of Palm Sunday. At the end of Matthew chapter 23, he's declared seven woes over Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders and the teachers of the law. You hypocrites, blind guides, he calls them. Who is this? They failed to recognize him as Messiah and Lord and Savior. And he says to them finally, look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So on Palm Sunday, that question, who is this, is the question that pops up time and again in the Gospels. Here in our reading that Leon read to us from John's Gospel, the crowds answer, blessed is the King of Israel. When they saw him riding in on a donkey, they recognize that he's fulfilling that prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9. The prophet says, see to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt the foal of a donkey. Your king is a messianic title. In other places in the Gospels, Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? He makes it personal. And that's always been a key question, hasn't it? Do we treat him as just another prophet, as the Muslims do? Do you treat him as just a good man, a good teacher, as many British people do? Do you even treat him just as someone from a story from long ago, who probably didn't even exist, as many people in our country would say today? There's a whole range of answers, isn't there? And how you answer that question determines the attitude you take towards the Lord Jesus. It's a question for us in every age, in every century, in every generation. Who is this? And will you hail him as Lord and King, your Lord, entering into your life as the crowds did on Palm Sunday? Will you spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all, as the hymn says? Last week, Jane and I were staying with our younger daughter, Rachel, and she took us... Oh, Not mine, yours. Right. Last week, Jane and I were staying with our younger daughter, Rachel, and she took us with her to her park run in Hampshire, which she does regularly. We weren't up to running it ourselves. We walked it, actually, through the mud. Does anybody here do park run? We've got one friend, at least, who does it round here. Anyway, in my newspaper today, actually, one of the columnists had been to park run with her daughter and was amazed at the enthusiasm and the community spirit. Hundreds of people gathering together in all kinds of weathers, week by week. And it's become almost a religion. People wanting to give themselves to something good. What do you want to give your time and energy to, your resources? What's important to you in life? We all choose, don't we, what we want to spend our time doing. St. Anselm was the Archbishop of Canterbury in about 1100 AD, and he said, look, if there's a scale of importance of things, then logically God must be up the top of that scale, mustn't he? He must be the greatest conceivable being and worth giving priority to, top priority. Or to put it in investment terms, technology, for your whole life, if you want to invest, you want to think long term, don't you? And in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus advised this: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you're going to invest in anything, invest in the kingdom of God, because that will last for all eternity. It's a question for all of us in every age, isn't it? Who is this person who rides into Jerusalem? And will you acknowledge him and hail him as your Lord and King? Or will you perhaps treat him with disdain, as the Jewish leaders did, and as many people in Britain do today, and ignore or insult him? Will you even cry out for his death, as the crowds did at the urging of the priests only a few days later, and indeed as the secularists and new atheists do even today? In our reading, Jesus is at the peak of his earthly ministry as he enters Jerusalem. It's the climax of his life on earth. And some people roar his praise and approval, waving palm branches. But others roar his curse and destruction. Jesus has always divided the crowds into those who accept and exalt him and those who reject and deny him. Today and every time we read the Gospels, Jesus addresses us too. Who do you say that I am? Am I your Lord and Saviour or not? I'm going to pray a prayer of commitment now, and if you'd like to welcome Jesus Christ as your Lord, then please pray this prayer in your heart along with me. Here it is. Let's pray. Lord God, I am so sorry that I have not loved you with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. Perhaps take a moment now to recall anything particular that's on your mind. Lord, I understand now who Jesus is and why he died. I know that I do not deserve it, but because of Jesus' death on the cross for me, I ask you to forgive me. From now on, please give me the desire to obey you and help me to follow Jesus, whatever the cost. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time, or maybe just one more time, simply to underline your faith, then please tell me. I'd love to know. I'd love to pray for you and with you. Thank you.